Well, good evening. Let's just want to start with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this time that we have together, that we can just dive into your word and just hopefully learn from it, and that everything I say tonight would not be anything of myself, Lord, but it would just be you speaking through me, and just have our hearts and our ears open for what you have for us. Thank you for this warm place that we can gather to just worship you and just learn from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I just wanted to start by kind of explaining. It's definitely an honor to be even asked to speak and to bring forth God's word in any setting. It doesn't matter if it's to the children's ministry upstairs on a Sunday morning and the kids don't get anything and they're just running around like crazy kids. I can say that because I have a two-year-old now, so I understand it. Donica and I did teach children's ministry for a long time together, and that's a tough crowd. When they only have an attention span of about 2 minutes to try to really give them something that they might be able to remember, that's tough. So I take it as a very a huge honor to even just be asked. And for me, tonight, I've definitely been praying all week about what God would give me to speak on, and to hopefully have something you guys can take home and think about and hopefully change your lives in somewhat of a little way. And I'm reminded of, this isn't where we're going to be tonight, but this is just one verse for you real quick. James 3, verse 1, and that's why I say all this right here, for this verse says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." So that's the verse that when I was asked to speak, I was like, okay, wow, I have taught a lot of like junior high classes, youth stuff, but never anything like on a serious church level. So this is new for me, so bear with me. But I'm excited. I've actually been really thinking a lot about what I'm gonna talk on and what hopefully you guys can learn. So tonight I'm gonna actually be in Ephesians chapter 2. So if you want to turn there with me. So Ephesians 2, I'm only going to be in verses 1 through 10, so I'm going to read through that and then I'll get into what we're going to talk about. So it says, verse 1, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." Oh, by the way, I do read in the ESV. I don't know why, for me, I get the ESV better than New King James. My dad teaches New King James, so bear with me. If you're on a phone or a tablet, switch over to the ESV. It might make a little more difference to you. If you have your New King James Bible, It'll be the same. Trust me, it'll be the same. It might sound a little different, but I like the ESV. All right, so here we go. It says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show us immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So did you guys catch that? The whole theme of that verses 1 to 10 is the gospel message right there. That's the whole entire thing summed up in those 10 verses. And it actually gets broken down even more, but I wanted to start and go through starting in verse 1, it starts with God's love for us, really, truly. That's where it starts. And so we see in verse 1, it says, "and you." So it's funny because us being humans, we're all about number one, or we all love number one. Everything we do is about number one. And being a human, we can admit that, right? We're all born into the sin nature. Everything's about number one, but it starts with "and you," and then it goes on to tell us really how sucky a life we are because of our sin and our sin nature. and says all this stuff. So, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. So it's that right there is the first part. Verses 1 all the way through 3 are the first part of the gospel message, right? The first part is we have to realize as human beings, as sinners, we are dead forever, right? If we die and we never accept Christ, we don't have eternal life. So that's the tough pill to swallow for us as humans, because we have to realize that in order to see that we need a Savior. So as you read through this, it says, following the course of this world in verse 2. So this kind of stood out to me, because if you go back and look in the Greek, this kind of following, or sorry, excuse me, a little bit before that, in which you once walked following the course of this world. That term walk isn't how we, our English language actually really sucks compared to most languages. Like we have one word for that of love, right? But it means so many different things, but we just say we love this and we love that and I love my wife, I love my car, I love my child. It's like you can't, there's so much that we can't explain with just our words. So this word walk is actually, it's more of just like a meandering, a wandering without any purpose. That's what that word walking is, following the course of this world. So following the course of this world, I thought was really interesting, because growing up, a lot of times if you're starting to find your own who you are, and you've got this freedom as if you're in junior high or you go into high school and you're like, man, okay, I'm cool. I can drive, or I can do this, or I can go out and hang out with my friends. My parents don't have to be there and all this stuff, right? But a lot of times, I know for me growing up and my brothers, if we were like, oh, hey mom, hey dad, can we go do this? Well, no, I don't think that's a good idea. Oh, well, blah, 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 why not? And, you know, it's this whole back and forth thing of why can't we do this? Why is it, you know, and they're trying to explain, well, it's just what's best for you. And, you know, as kids, you're like, nah, you don't know what you're talking about. But then it always, you know, for us, it would always come back to, well, if your friends are going to jump off a building, are you going to do it too? And it's like, well, obviously not. But that's what that kind of is talking about. It says following the course of this world. So in our human flesh, if we are just kind of following along with whatever trends are, and I mean, you can talk about anything. You can, the cars, the drugs, the alcohol, the anything that can make you stray from God. That's what that's talking about. It's just following the trends of the world, and it's always shifting and changing and drawing you into this and to that. So that's kind of the idea there, is that. And then following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's pretty big statement right there. Following the prince of the power of the air. So we know who that's talking about. That's the devil. That's Satan. He's just able to easily manipulate and just get us to stray and do whatever, because we can justify it, and that's all that stuff. But anyways, so the first part of this, it's going to basically break it down into three parts. So with the gospel, you've got the first part was this one, verses 1 to 3, talking about our sin nature and who we are without Christ. So that's the first part. The second part gets down into verse 4. It says, but God. Now, I stopped there for a second. I was like, okay, but God. Well, what are we talking about? The but side of it right there, pardon my language, is talking about our sin nature and who we are. God stepped in and loves us so much. It says, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. Because he loves us so much, even though we are totally lost without him, we do stupid things, we don't follow him when we should, or whatever's going on in our life, whatever we struggle with, God is always there. He's always has mercy for us, and it starts with his actual love for us. And so when I was reading that verse, I started thinking, there is one verse in the Bible that I would almost dare say everyone can quote. And it's usually the first verse that if you grew up in the church, it's usually the very first verse as a child you would memorize. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, let me just read it so I don't mess it up for you guys. I haven't memorized it in a while, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And I think when I was thinking about that and that verse kind of came to mind, I thought it was interesting how sometimes we, because that's one of those verses that we just memorize, right? And that's kind of the one that we just lock into our mind. I almost think it kind of loses that power of, for God so loved the world. Like, it's all about love. Like, do we deserve his love? Absolutely not. We do stupid stuff that, I mean, it's funny now for me as a parent of a 2-year-old, I can see all these parent analogies. Now, you know, when, before having a child, it's like, oh, there's another parent analogy. And I'm sorry if I have really bad jokes. I'm trying to learn the dad jokes, but I'm not there yet. He's still not old enough to laugh at me, so I haven't quite got him down yet. So if you have any dad jokes, I'd love to hear them afterwards so I can start working on memorizing those. But so being a parent now, though, I can see this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And when we just kind of memorize it as a child and grow up with that, we kind of lose focus on what such a great power that is, that everything he's done for us is out of his love for us. And then that's where then grace comes in, because he loves us so much. And that's what I was saying with a 2-year-old. Everything for my child right now, he is very strong-willed, so it's just his way, and he wants to do it this way, and no, there's no other way, and I'm going to get mad, and I'm going to throw a fit if I don't get it my way. And it's like, with Everett, I don't know why, he loves toothpaste. For whatever reason, he will always go into our drawers and gets his hand up there, and he reaches around, and he finds the toothpaste. I'm like, dude, you can't just eat the toothpaste. Like, it's not good for you. And he screams and throws a fit, and I take it from him. And it's like, I'm trying to help you, but I love him. That's why I take it away from him, because it can be harmful for him if he just sucks down an entire tube of toothpaste, right? Like, that's not a good thing for a little 2-year-old to just, like, suck down some great toothpaste. So it's out of my love for him that I take that, and I'm trying to teach him the right way to go. And that's what God does with us. And that's what, to me, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And that's what, you know, Jesus, he sent Jesus to die for our sins. And we see that. That's what he's talking about, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And I think it's interesting, and we kind of leave this verse off quite a bit, but verse 17 really kind of sums it up even more. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So if he didn't send his son to condemn the world, then that has to mean he sent his son into the world because he loves the world, not to condemn the world. Like, that's what verse 17 is saying. He sent him because he loves us so much that Christ died for us and our sins so we can have eternal life. So then back in Ephesians, that's what we see in verse 4 right there, talking about, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. And then goes on verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And I've been reading Pastor Daniel Fusco of Crossroads Church, his book called Honestly, if any of you guys have ever read that. It's a really good book. He goes through, it's kind of his series going through Ephesians, and I love how he puts kind of it being the gospel message. It's basically like, he says, I'm trying to make sure I don't word this wrong, so don't hold me to it. It's God makes the dead alive, is basically what he says. Like, that's the gospel message. God makes the dead alive. And so it's funny, because he goes on and explains, like, you know, when we hear that, we're like, oh, it's like The Walking Dead. All of a sudden there's zombies running around and trying to, you know, whatever. I'm not a big Walking Dead fan, never seen it. But the zombie reference, like, that's what you would think, right? Well, it's in the spiritual side. He's made us alive in Christ for eternity. Yeah, here, we can't physically sometimes tell, like, oh, I've accepted Christ, so I'm alive. Well, you are, and hopefully that's renewed your mind and your thought process and stuff like that. But, like, physically, right, we don't see that. We're going to see that in eternity when we go to heaven to live with him. And so that's kind of I love that he kind of put it that way, kind of in those terms, like the gospel, simple gospel message completely broken down is God makes the dead alive. And that's kind of, that's what all this is explaining of how that process is. So then we go on into verse 6 and it says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ. And what I love about this is we all have some sort of prized possessions in our life, right? A lot of people think their cars are their prized possessions, or you go into someone's house and you can see, oh, they got a big trophy case because all through high school they were the track star and they've got all these trophies up on the wall. So it's like, that's their prized possession. I was this. Well, Christ does that and God does that with us in heaven. He seats us with him. He's basically sitting here saying, hey, you guys are my prized possessions. Through all eternity, I'm going to look at you. You guys are my prized possessions. Because I've given you Christ and you've accepted him, now we can have everlasting life together. And that's where, if you go back in the beginning, that's where Adam and Eve brought in the sin. It used to be like this. God used to walk with Adam and Eve and talk with them and be amongst them in the garden. Well, after sin entered in, you can't, God, that got separated. So then you have to, in the God's great plan, he sent Jesus to then die for all of our sins so that we can then have eternal life with him. And that's basically what he's talking about. It's the more of we're his prized possessions as long as we accept him. And that's by grace that we can do that. So if we go on here, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And I thought that was interesting because, you know, we know, right, that the gift of salvation, it's a gift. But I thought it was interesting that we have to still have faith in order to get the grace. Because if we don't have faith in Christ, then that grace, it doesn't make sense for people that aren't accepting of Christ. Yeah, that's all I'll say about that one. I won't go into that one. That's fine. We'll leave it at that. But yeah, it's, you have to have that faith in order to have the grace in your life to know that God can change your life. With whatever's going on in your life, grace changes everything. So that's the importance of that. And so, and then it goes on, and this is not your own doing. So this is the end of verse 8. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. And I love that Paul added that in there. He said, this is the gift of God. And so for us, the best way to understand the gift like that is, we give gifts for Christmas, right? Or birthdays or whatever, someone's anniversary. It doesn't matter what it is. But when we give a gift, we don't expect them to do anything back, right? Usually give a gift to like, hey, we love you. Here you go. You don't give someone a gift that you usually don't know or don't like or something like that. You know what I mean? So if you're giving a gift, it's usually not in the respect of, oh, well, I'm expecting something back now. I mean, come on. I gave you this. So for us to understand that that's God's gift to us, like that just kind of like really brought me back to, wow, that is so amazing that God loves us so much. And because of our sin and who we are, that he loves us so much that we fail him every day. Even as believers, we fail Christ every single day because of our sin nature. We don't want to because we're trying to walk in Christ, right? That's the goal and that's the purpose of who we are. But We're gonna sin. We're gonna miss the mark. Which that's what sin means. If you guys have been here for a while, my dad has clearly explained it. Sin is actually an archery term that when they would shoot their arrows at a target and if they missed, it was a sin. So that's where we get that. You missed the mark. You didn't follow up to your standards of what you should be at. And so I just love that thinking of it that way as it's a gift of God, and that's what salvation is, and obviously that's what grace is as well. We just have to accept him and accept Christ, and it's free for us. So verse 9 says, not a result of works so that no one may boast. I thought it was interesting that Paul put that right in there at that moment in time. because he's gone through this whole thing, right, of breaking it down as, hey, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. We're all shouldn't be loved by God, right, because of our sin nature. So he breaks that all down. But then he says, but God loves us so much that he gave us Christ. But then a lot of times, as good humans that we are, we take it on ourselves. Oh, I did this and I do this. And God, you know, and Paul right here is just saying, nope, it's not for you to boast. It's a free gift. That's the whole purpose. So no matter what you do, yeah, you're going to want to do good things for Christ, right? If you really understand what grace is and what salvation is, you're going to want to share that with others and other people in your sphere of influence that would know you from BC, before Christ, and who you are now and why you're not that way. So it's, as we go on in verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So that's basically what he's saying. He's saying, hey, yes, we're not supposed to boast because that's not the reason. Grace and salvation is the free gift from God. And then when God changes our life, it's not that we did it. We didn't do anything. That's Christ that did that in our lives. And so he's already created us for good works. And I thought it was cool, this, for we are his workmanship. Kind of an illustration that worked really good for me when I was reading about this was that term workmanship is more of like an artist creating an amazing, beautiful painting. And there's like everything that he does is to create this unbelievable, beautiful painting that we could never, if you're not a painter, you'd look at that and go, man, that's amazing. How in the world did you do that? Like Corey paints and he's painting some stuff for my parents' house and just looking out, I mean, I could never do that. I don't get that process, but it's that term workmanship is more of like the meticulous everything you're doing for a certain purpose to go along with the whole picture. And so that was, I just thought that was really interesting, like that term. And again, our English language is so great, right, that we can just explain that so clearly in one word. Well, no, we just get workmanship. That's what we get. Sweet, awesome. So we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so that's what it's talking about when it's the, we're not going to boast. Yes, we do good works for Christ, right? But we don't want to boast about them because then we've just lost everything that we are building up in heaven because we boasted about it and it's our pride that comes forth and, well, there it goes. It's done. So, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now that term, so you've got walk. I thought it was really interesting. There's, it's talking about walking at the very beginning in verse 1, and then it talks about walking at the very end. So it's a different term of walk. This is the, I'm on the path, I'm heading somewhere for a purpose. That's what this term walk is talking about. And that's us walking and following Jesus Christ. So when I was looking at this, I thought it was so interesting how that is the gospel message, right? So we've just seen the gospel message clearly laid out for us. We are sinners. We are born into this world as sinners. We can't do anything about that other than God loved us so much that he gave his only son to die for us. And then the end of it is, hey, everyone can have this. It's free for everyone. And look what God's done in my life. All the glory goes to God. And I thought it was awesome that shouldn't that be the way we give our testimony to people too? That's the same exact concept. It breaks it down into those three areas: who we were before, what God did for us, and how we are now. That's exactly what Paul is explaining here, and I just thought that was so incredible that that it got broken down that way for us to just understand. And I love Paul's writings, and this book especially was, they actually, when I was reading some stuff, I thought it was interesting because a lot of times you read, oh, it's Ephesians. Well, if you've been studying the Bible long, it's like, oh, it was to the Ephesus group. But actually, some people think it was more to just not a very specific church. It was to a lot of churches in general because how he explains grace and basically the gospel message throughout all of Ephesians. A lot of times when Paul wrote to churches, he was explaining usually an issue with a church. This one is more of an overall Christian living book. So I thought it was really cool. But so that's why I thought, hey, that's awesome. And this, in chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, just lays it out so beautifully for us to just understand and get. So I would just encourage you guys, for me in closing, I know, hey man, we're in a record time getting out of here. My dad's usually like 20 minutes over, right? So, I'm trying to make up for him, right? That's what I'm trying to do. But I just encourage you guys, like, go back and read this. That it so clearly states for us to be able to share with someone the gospel message. Just insert yourself in there. Hey man, I was dead in trespasses and sins, and I once followed the world because I did whatever this or that. But God, there's the big insertion there, but God loved me so much that he gave his son to die for me, that now I'm able to live like this. That's all of it right there, verses 1 through 10. So I just encourage you guys, I hope that made some sense. If not, forgive me. Please forgive me. But let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time we've had together, and I just ask that we would have gotten something from tonight, Lord, that even just going back and reading these verses would just something would step out at us and just give us a word we need of encouragement or anything going on in our lives. And just thank you for clearly your gospel message that is shared through this, that we can just look at that and just be able to replicate that and tell others around us that we can talk with, and our friends and family that don't know you, Lord. And I just thank you for tonight, that we can just fellowship and be together and just be with us as we go home, and just pray for safe travels for my parents as they're on their way home tomorrow. Just keep them safe, and just thank you that they are refreshed and just excited to be here with us on Sunday morning. So I ask that you would just be with us tonight, in Jesus' name.